So here's 1 Peter chapter 4 is the verse I have in mind. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. It speaks here of the household of God or the family of God. And it says here that the time has come. It is time for judgment to begin in the household of God, or from the household of God, and it must begin with us first. And then it goes on to say in verse 18 that it is with difficulty that the righteous is saved. Now most Christians don't believe that it is with difficulty that a righteous person is saved. They say it's very easy. You just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, that's it. What do you do with verses like this, that it's with difficulty that a righteous person is saved? A lot of Christians have got some favorite verses which they take, ignoring 75% of other verses that if they took would balance out their understanding of truth. So I see the family of God, or the household of God, or the church of God, as a place where people, like it says in verse 17, judge themselves first. So, if you are a person who judges yourself first and not others, you're part of the household of God. If you're a person who spends your time judging other people, I don't know where you are. I hope you'll make it. But one thing I can be sure, that if you're a person who judges yourself first, you're definitely a part of the household of God. There are many things in Scripture that are a little vague, and I think God has kept it that way. There are verses that I think God has deliberately put in a vague way to see whether man is really serious about obeying Him, or whether he's going into Scripture to find some loophole for disobedience. Some little verse from which he can get comfort in his sin. I think of a number of well-known television evangelists who, very famous people who, when they fell into adultery and shameful adultery, they stayed away from the television program for a few weeks and then came back and said, well, David also fell into adultery and he did not lose his position as a king. He came back, so I've come back. See, they went into Scripture to find some comfort in their sin, and God allowed them to find it, to deceive themselves, forgetting that David was in the Old Covenant and they were in the New Covenant. I mean, if they had pointed to Paul or Peter falling into adultery, that would be something. But they found comfort in their sin by going to the Old Testament. And God allowed them to find it, to deceive themselves. I mean, they wouldn't go to a verse like 1 John 3, which says he who commits sin is of the devil. They wouldn't take that, because that would condemn them. Sin is the main subject in the New Covenant, and it's very important to understand that. I don't know whether you realize, the only time that Jesus used the word New Covenant, we use it so often. I use it frequently. I believe it's one of the major things the Lord's asked me to proclaim and teach. But Jesus used the word only once. And it's at the Last Supper. He said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the forgiveness of the sins of many." And what I learned from that is, the new covenant is all about being free from sin. It's got nothing to do with healing or prosperity or comfort or evangelism or anything or ministry. It's got to do with being free from sin. From that will flow many other things. And the ministry would be to lead other people to be free from sin and to enter the new covenant. Of course, we should do that. So, I have found great comfort in this verse, and I believe God gives us His word to make us supremely happy. The most joyful person that walked on this earth was Jesus Christ. And the reason why God anointed Him with the oil of gladness above all other people is mentioned in Hebrews 1 verse 9. Hebrews 1 verse 9, referring to Jesus, it says, "You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore," He doesn't say, "Therefore God, your God anointed you with the oil of gladness," period. It says, "Therefore God anointed you with the oil of gladness above all the others." So the reason why Jesus had such tremendous joy in His life, well, there was a reason for it. He loved righteousness. He didn't just do righteousness. He loved it. He didn't just avoid sin. He hated it. And there's a revulsion in Him to sin. And we may think we have come to great heights when we've just avoided sin. A lot of people avoid sin who are still miserable. But when a person learns to hate sin and love righteousness, God will anoint him with the oil of gladness, because there's no partiality with God. There's a law. "Lord God, you have anointed Jesus with the oil of gladness," not because He's your son, because He loved righteousness and hated iniquity more than all the others. So what I learned from that is, the measure in which God gives us the oil of gladness, joy and freedom from murmuring and grumbling and complaining and a life of constant thanksgiving for all circumstances, is if we love righteousness and hate iniquity, first of all in ourselves. So the thing I judge myself in is to see whether I hate iniquity, whether I love righteousness, whether I'm developing an increasing revulsion to sin, not satisfied with avoiding it, but just like, you know, I often try to picture in my mind what is the most repulsive thing I can think of, and I want to hate sin like that. It's not just that I'm in the beginning, we don't get there soon. In the beginning we have lived in sin so much that the first step to that is turning away from it, battling it, and being drawn towards it and avoiding it, and then fighting it, like we sing in that song, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory you win will help you another to win." So each time we resist temptation is going to make us stronger, and gradually we come to the place. It doesn't happen overnight, it doesn't even, won't even happen in a year or two, but we can, to me this is the mark of progression into the likeness of Christ, that we can gradually come to the place where we have a revulsion towards it. We hate it. I mean, like we would have a revulsion to lick the floor with our tongue or lick a toilet bowl. Oh, would you do it for $100? to have a revulsion for sin like that. Lord, I want to hate sin and have a revulsion against it, every type of sin, to speak evil of others, to have a dirty thought, to for even a smell of looking at anything pornographic or ugly sexually, a revulsion to it. Just like I'd have a revulsion to lick a toilet bowl. That's hating sin. And loving righteousness. Just like, think of something you really love. Say, Lord, I want to love righteousness like that. Like a good meal or something like that. And I want to judge myself until I get there. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. In 1 Corinthians 11, it says in relation to the Lord's table, an expression which is true generally apart from the Lord's table as well. Verse 31, if we judged ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. And that is at the judgment seat of Christ, I won't be judged for anything. I picture this sometimes in my mind. I like to read scripture and think in pictures. It helps me. God's given us an imagination. And in our unconverted days, we used our imagination for all types of filth. Why not use it for something good now? I do it all the time. I imagine that Christ has set up his judgment seat. And I imagine believers through the ages standing before him and one by one being called up before him to be judged. And, you know, the Bible says that each one is going to be judged. And here it says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we judge ourselves rightly, in that day we will not be judged. So I've got to judge myself rightly. So I think of different ones going up before the Lord and the Lord pointing out various things in them that they didn't set right in their lifetime on earth after they were saved, and things that they took very casually in relation to his word or in relation to sin. And one by one they're judged. Now I picture myself coming up there and my turn comes. And I want the Lord to say to me, it's nothing. Your record is clear. Wow. Can you imagine how it'll be if it's like that for you? Are you passionate that it should be like that?